Well, greetings, everybody. Let me share what I've got in mind here. It is Christmas time, I think, fair to say. And as much as I love the symbols of the Christmas story, I'd rather do something else. Some years ago, in the Rimrock Room, I did an evening, or I think it was a series, like two or three sessions of the teachings of Jesus. And I did receive some encouragement to do something similar. And I thought I'd like to do something similar. So what I have is actually seven different quotations all around one theme. The theme isn't mentioned by this word in the New Testament, and not usually spoken of with this word. But the word is relevant to the teachings and is a naming of his profound teaching. And the word is reciprocity. It is fascinating when you look at what he taught, how much reciprocity was in there. So I'll read the first quote to get us going on this. So my thought is that I'd introduce the theme and a couple of the quotes, and then through the remainder of the evening, we'd go to, you know, another quote. Well, and then in between, we would be in something like threes and share something together in the threes, just a dialogue about the meaning of what's being said and the significance of it, and then have a chance to share our own learnings about it. See where it goes, eh? So here's the first one. This is Matthew 22. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So there were a lot of laws and a lot of prophets. So he was looking to kind of net it out for them, you know. He wasn't denying all the law and the prophets, but he's looking to summarize it, and that's the way he did. And so the first commandment isn't so obviously about reciprocity, to love the Lord thy God. So that's about loving the source of one's own life, the source of being, loving the invisible reality. But the next one is where the reciprocity becomes very obvious. He says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." It's like, what? So I haven't gone back to try to understand how they translated from the Greek, presumably, and presumably originally from the Aramaic. But just on the face of it, in the English language, what does that mean? To love thy neighbor as thyself. Like, so you could read it to think, to love thy neighbor as if it was you, as if you were loving yourself. Or you might read it as you would like to be loved. To me, that's reciprocity. Another word to use might be mutuality. So through these quotations, I think you'll see that there's a mutuality. And they are mind benders, if you will. Like, that's a mind bender. To love your neighbor as if it was yourself, as if they were yourself. That's a mind bender. And mutuality is like that. It is somehow saying that what you do in, another way it's put is, and that's not one of the quotes even, what you do unto the least of these, my brethren, you do unto me. You know, that's mutuality. There's something going on here that isn't limited to the physical reality. The physical reality is you're you, I'm me. And if I do something to you, I'm just doing it to you, right? Mutuality says, if I'm doing something to you, and somehow, in some way, I'm doing it to myself, and I'm doing it to everybody. And I've sometimes said that there's the working of the law. So he describes it as the law, and you could call it the law of reciprocity, or you call it, Yironda called it the one law, or you could call it simply the law of what goes around comes around. So I want to contrast that to other teachings or other truths that might be brought, like fast and pray and better yourself and you'll live a better life. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm just saying that's not this, right? He's not telling people to go better themselves, you know, not to go on some self-improvement kick or something like that. He's presenting this profound teaching that what affects your own spiritual knowing is what you're doing in the mutuality of your life. Okay, so anyway, that's the consideration this evening, really. So I want to read the second one here, and then we can break up into threes and have some dialogue among our threes on this idea. This one's familiar. And actually, this teaching is not unique to Jesus. It's apparently universal. So you can pretty well find this teaching universally in all the great faiths and spiritual practices around the world. Here it is articulated like this. Matthew 7. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. I guess that was his line for emphasis. Okay? So we know that is the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's how it came out in his words. The golden rule is, well, children are taught that, right? And it's almost prosaic and cliche. Now, the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But if you look at it as not just some kind of moralistic teaching, like you're a good person if you're doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. But if you see it as having perhaps more profound implications to that than that, and not that it's just a good thing to do, but perhaps in treating another person as you would like to be treated, in some way you are treating yourself that way. Or you're inviting that for yourself or for everybody. That's the mutuality of it. To me, it has that implication. So let's break up into threes and just take a few minutes here just to have whatever dialogue we want about all this. How do we want to do this? I think I'd like to do it just randomly. How about this? How about all are up for it? We'll do a little bit of a mill around the room and just settle with three people someplace. Mix it up, okay? Let's do that. Shane, you want to do this?
Sure.
Oh, great. We just need a third. Bob? Okay. So just to recap here, so the first one was love the Lord thy God and then love thy neighbor as thyself. The second one was the golden rule. And what we're dialoguing on here are both the quotations but also the very idea of reciprocity and mutuality. And let's give it a go at like 5 minutes on this. Okay, let's bring our trios to a close. Thank you, partners. So let's just back up into a circle and go into something else on this. You can go wherever you want to go or not go anyplace. Okay, we got a little musical chairs going on. Okay, I want to check and see if anybody's got a short, real-life lesson on this. Is there anybody got a time in their life where they just really had a learning about this?
I feel like I just kind of learned something tonight, which is that if these are the teachings that Jesus considered primary, then this is a religion that, and you kind of said as much, David, but this is a religion that you can't practice by yourself. I mean, it's not like something you can just go off into a cave and lick. It's you need other people.
Well, a number of things came up in our small group, and one of the things that came up for me is that the second one, love your neighbor as yourself, that is what's happening around the world. And the problem is that people don't love themselves. So when they're loving their neighbor as themselves, you're starting from below zero and you're really in trouble. And it reminded me of a story of a man who was a white supremacist, a biker. Biker's good, but it just happened to be what he did. And he had an accident, but his neighbor down the street was Jewish, and he was cruel to that man for a very long time. And then he had this terrible accident, and who came to the door was the man down the street. And he blessed him in every possible way, helped take care of him. Just all his needs were met. And when he tells the story, he says that In the environment he grew up with, he was loving his neighbor as himself. Cruel. He was cruel. But after he had the experience of this kindness and generosity, he was able, I don't remember that he used the word reciprocity in particular, but he talked about he had something different to give back to other people after he was able to experience that kind of love and caring.
Thank you, thank you. Reciprocity literally means, you know, in its root, going back the way you came. So we use the word for reciprocal fractions, if you remember your grammar school. So reciprocal fractions, so if you have a fraction of 1 over 2, so a half, the reciprocal of 1 over 2 is 2 over 1. That's how that goes. Or if you have a reciprocating valve, it keeps going to the other end. So reciprocity implies that we have an ability to see things from another person's perspective and consider the field that we're in with that person in a global kind of way, and not only from our own perspective. So Jesus' teaching on that went like this. Very simply, he said, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." I think that's a way of saying, see it from their perspective, right? If they want you to see it from their perspective, walk a mile, walk with them two. Twain is two in Old English. So walk with them. So I believe that the teaching of reciprocity is right there. So maybe we'll do two and then break up into groups again. So the first one is simply this one, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. The second one is from Matthew 7. He very simply says, judge not that ye be not judged. And then he says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And then he goes on. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? So I'm not quite sure what a mote is, but a speck. So, you know, so a little bit of sarcasm, I think, going on here. Or wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. So he did have the ability to be sarcastic. Definitely that's reflected in the New Testament. But probably the one verse to focus on is simply the first one. Judge not that ye be not judged. You know, it's saying that in the very act of judging another, we're bringing a judgment upon ourselves. So maybe we could break up into threes again. You want to do another mill? Let's do another mill, eh? Right? Two different people to be with? We'll take about 5 minutes on this. I was asked to reread the first one, and it goes like this. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Okay, so I want to put another quotation on the table for you to consider in your groups. And it follows on very nicely from what we've been considering. And this is from what is spoken of as the Lord's Prayer or Our Father. Everything around it is profound, but we don't have time to go into all that. I just want to go to this. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Yolanda goes on about this. What he says that, there are all kinds of ideas about forgiveness, that we're forgiven when we believe on Christ or something like that in Christianity. He says, whereas the recipe for forgiveness of us is so clearly prescribed in this prayer. You know, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What a profound statement. Again, one of reciprocity and mutuality. And if we really believe that we're forgiven when we forgive others, that we could walk around in a state of forgiveness if we would only offer that to other people. To me, that's profound. So let me put that on the table, too, and just give you a chance to have some dialogue about that. Okay, let's come back into our circle.
David, is this yours?
Yeah, thanks. Well, wow. I hope that was as good for you as it was for me.
Well, who were you with?
That was for me amazing. So I want to bring another quotation that's not on my list. So It's where he counseled people to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So to put it this way, you know, to be forgiving isn't to be undiscerning. And I just think of the brilliance of what he said, you know, in that short little metaphor, right? To be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Doesn't that really address a huge issue for us as human beings? Like, how do we live wisely in our life with right discretion over what we're doing and with real insight into what's happening in the world and in other people? So that's the wise as serpents part. And then still retain the innocence of a dove. I mean, that's quite a thing, right? It is for me. So I want to just close, given that we've reached the end of our time, by reading the last two quotes that we won't have time to do something with. The first one, or the first one of the last two, is about reciprocity in terms of paying it forward. So reciprocity, I've learned, it can be giving back, but it can also be paying forward. And this is how this one goes. This is addressed to Simon, son of Jonas, who is Peter. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Right? It's like our love, the reciprocity for our love for things divine demands of us that we pay it forward. And in paying it forward, we are showing our reciprocity. And it's so profoundly and emphatically said there. So there's that one. And here's the last one. So this goes to oneness. So we say in the working of the one law, which is the law of reciprocity, really, that it goes radiation, response. So it's a radiation of love, then the response to that radiation, then attraction, and then union, and then unified radiation. So we've reciprocated in that case. And so the unified radiation is oneness. So that's about coming to oneness. Not about just saying, hey, we're all one, but truly in the dynamic of the living of our life, coming to know oneness and experience oneness. So this is from John 17, which is a chapter of prayer. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou hast gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. It's sometimes referred to as the love chapter. I think I have that right, the love chapter, because it's just full, so full, you know, of oneness and love, and the fulfillment of the law of reciprocity. Okay. Thanks for being here.